This evening, I want to try and do a few things. The first thing, I want to encourage us and remind us of the work that Christ completed for us and the significance of that. And in particular, the significance of one statement, one answer to a question that he was asked, as it's recorded in John. And that's where we'll be reading from this evening, John chapter 14. Just a few verses. But before I go into that, I'd like us to pray together. So Father God, I just thank you for the privilege, Lord, to gather together. Thank you that you are here among us. And I pray, Father God, that you would speak through us, Lord. You would speak to us and through me, Lord. Lord, I'm just your servant, Lord. And I and the boldness, Lord, to declare your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this evening's reading is from John chapter 14. And I'm just going to read from verse 1 down to the end of verse 7. So do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So there's quite a significant verse there. I find it incredible because Thomas asked a question. He said, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus' response could have quite easily have been, well, I am the way. But he decided to continue. That wasn't enough. That didn't fully capture everything that Christ is and that he accomplished. He went on to say, I am the truth and I am the life. And I want us to look at those three things this evening. And I want to encourage you, and in that process of encourage you, trust the Holy Spirit to prompt some response in you about preaching the Word of God, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. This statement is powerful in itself, and just a couple of weeks ago I was able to share this statement because it encapsulates everything that Jesus is. I am the way, I am truth, and I am life. It's complete. Nobody in history has ever declared all those three things. Loads of people say, I'm a way, I'll follow this way, and I'll try this way. People question, what is truth? Jesus answers that as well. He says, well, I'm truth. And I'll explain that in a little bit. And he also says, I am life. And he's the only one who can give life, as we know. So I want to look at these three things. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So to understand the way, we need to just go back a little bit to John chapter 1. John replied in these words of the Isaiah prophet, I am the voice of one in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. Isaiah 40 is essentially John's job description. That was his responsibility to declare the way of the Lord, to prepare people's hearts for salvation, for the one who was going to come, prepare them for a way. Not a way that they'd know, they would no longer be required to just wander aimlessly, be like a sheep without a shepherd. John was there to declare the way and to teach repentance. He was preparing the people for the Messiah. In Mark 1 it says, and so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan. In John 1, now the Pharisees who had seen John, they questioned him and they said, why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? Well, John then says, I baptize with water. He says, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. It goes on and it says at verse 30, this is the one I meant when I said, I am a man who comes a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. And this is what I want to pick up here. He says, I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. So John was preparing the way. Now we know that the way talks of a way to God, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So he's saying that, well, I am, you know, salvation is through me. You accept me, you accept my Father. I'm the one who laid down my life. I gave my life as a sacrifice of sin. He was the ultimate sacrifice, and he poured his blood out for us. So he is the way. He is the only way to God the Father. And many people think there are ways to God the Father, but they're wrong. And they're wrong because they believe that it's, you know, it's all in my effort, in my works, that I have to achieve it, I have to strive for it. But it's been given freely to us through his grace. And Jesus is the way, and he has every right to declare himself to when he says, I am the way. Now, the way, surprisingly, in Greek, just means a way. No surprise there. But it also means, and it's through the word tropos, it means a manner. Okay, and it's a manner of life or character. Properly, a new direction from turning or turning and adopting a new manner. It's the new course of conduct. Someone has because they know Christ as Lord. So Jesus showed himself to be the way to God the Father. But he also says that it's a manner. You take on this manner that I am declaring, that I am showing you, this way of life. And that's what I love about that scripture, because it doesn't give you opportunity to go any other way when you fully understand that Jesus Christ is the way. There's no need to look any further. John was telling people that there was a new way coming and he was preparing the way. Isaiah 53 reads, surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punishment by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What's the way? Isaiah 35 reads, a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Jesus declared himself to be, I am the way. He actually is the only way. He was the way. He had every right to say that. Jesus goes on to declare himself to be the truth. He says, I am truth. I love that. I love the fact that he could have just said, well, I'm the way. But he just goes on to say, he says, I am the truth. And he says, I am the life. And there's nothing else outside of that. He is everything. And the truth, the Greek word for truth is aletheia. And the definition of that is that it's not just a spoken truth, but it's a reality. So what I mean by that is that it was a divine truth revealed to man. So when Jesus was born and his destiny, his mission was to become the ultimate sacrifice, when Jesus was born, truth was revealed. Before that, it was just spoken word. It was word. But Jesus became truth. He displayed it in himself. But the root word of that is actually that it's unconcealed. It's not concealed any longer. So all of the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus coming have now become truth, or are becoming truth in his life. As he lives it out, they're being answered. So Jesus is truth. His very nature is truth. So he has every right to declare it. He says, I am truth. He has fulfilled all of those prophetic words about him. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here I am. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is truth. There are recorded over 40 Old Testament prophecies about Jesus. Don't worry, I won't go through them all. But just to name a few, Jesus was born of a woman, recorded in Genesis, fulfilled in Matthew. The Messiah would be heir to David's throne in Samuel and Isaiah, recorded in Luke and Romans. Messiah's throne would be anointed the eternal. The Messiah would be declared the Son of God. Messiah would be called King. The Messiah would be falsely accused. He would be spat upon and struck. The Messiah would be forsaken, fulfilled in Matthew. Soldiers would pierce the Messiah's side. The Messiah ascended to heaven. The Messiah would be a sacrifice for sin. Every single one fulfilled. Jesus became truth. It was no longer words. He became the reality. I am the truth, he says. For the law was given to Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus declared himself, I am the life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. John 5:11 says, and this is the testimony God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You know, it was a question by Thomas about where Jesus was going. They were quite sad that he was leaving them. And, very easily he could have just said, well, you know, I'm the way, don't worry about it, sort of thing. It'd be fine. But I love the fact that he went on to actually give a statement that describes and completes everything that he is to us. He's the way to God the Father. He is the life, the truth, scripture fulfilled, became reality. He became the prophetic word, his very life displayed everything that was told about him. And he is the life. You know, we have life in God, life eternal. And our hope is in our salvation in Jesus Christ. It is in that eternal life. And that's what should fill us with joy and confidence and strength. You know, and this statement that Jesus declares, it does demand a response. When I read it, I just think, how many times have I read this and it just passes my thought? Meditate on it. Really grasp what Jesus accomplished. The total work of what he accomplished. And the reality of what that means for us today. You know? It gives us a confidence. It gives us a hope. I like the way John Piper describes these few verses. And he says, when I say I go to prepare a place for you, what he means is, I open the way and I am the way. I confirm the truth and I am the truth. I purchase the life and I am the life. Somebody at some point told you that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And I trust this even that you have made a commitment to follow Jesus, that his way, truth, and life is your way, truth, and life. That you're right, you're reflecting him in your attitude, in your conduct. And where you go, you take that message with you. And my encouragement to you is to tell others about it. It's not to be held to yourself. It's not to be contained. Jesus, at every opportunity when he could, he said way more than he had to. But he knew he wanted to. He was teaching us about different things. You know, and you have an opportunity. You have pearls, you know, and you've got tremendous opportunity. I love telling people about Jesus. It is the best thing in my day. And it comes from nowhere sometimes. Just the other week, I was talking to a guy in work, and I wasn't ready for it. But it was inside me. It was real to me. So quickly I said, Lord, help me. Give me the words. Give me words of value. Give me words that will ensure that I do my best in this situation. And I just asked the Lord to give me words. And I've had other opportunities where I've had nothing to say. And I've had to depend totally on what the Lord has given me in that moment. I've had nothing. I've had a blank. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fills me. And out of my mouth comes words that I didn't even know. And the Holy Spirit is moving because he wanted to meet that person where they are. And we carry this message with us. Jesus is everything to us. He accomplished everything. It is finished. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Use that. Take it with you. Take that message with you and declare it to other people. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Do you know, it's so easy not to say things and afterwards you'll kick yourself. It's so easy to feel self-conscious. It's so easy just to even doubt that you have the ability to speak. You know, each one of us has a testimony of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Don't forget what it is. Don't forget that moment you encounter Jesus yourself. Let him move you to compassion for other people. And you know, there's lots of new beginnings, and this 2017 is a new beginning, it's a new year, and lots of people, like Steve was describing a couple of weeks ago, you know, they make sort of like commitments, and I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. You know, you do one, next day you've forgotten that you even made that commitment, and it comes to nothing. Do you know what, if there's one thing that I challenge you to do this year, is go out your way to, you know, build relationships with people that you wouldn't normally. Be ready to give an account for the gospel. Be ready to give an answer. Be ready to share your testimony. I really want to encourage you. We want to see people saved, do we not?
Yeah.
Why else do we even exist? Why else are we even gathering together? Yes, we want to worship and glorify him, but it's not to be contained within these walls. It's to be oozing out of us wherever we are, wherever you are in work. You know, I'll just share one story with you. And I'd love to say that this old elderly gentleman gave his life to the Lord, but he didn't. But it was an opportunity I'll never forget. And I was working in Bristol once, and I had 10 appointments, and I'd be on time for every single one, otherwise I'd be chasing my tail. And I got to this one house, knocked on the door, and an elderly lady answered. Now, whenever I used to travel the country, I used to look and go into people's houses, I used to look for like scriptures or signs to see if they were Christians, because I was like, you know, I really want to encourage them, I really want to, you know, just spend time with them, and I'd love to meet a Christian. Very often I didn't, and I'd end up like leaving the house pretty quickly, but unless an opportunity came about, of course. But I noticed in this one house some scriptures, some texts, and anyway, I did my survey, and as I was leaving, I just looked and I said, oh, that's a lovely scripture. And the elderly lady says, oh, yeah. She said, oh, yeah, I love that one. She said, oh, are you a Christian? I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. You know, I get in there and tell them I'm born again. I love the Lord Jesus. She said, oh, that's wonderful. She said, I can't believe you're here. And she rushed into, I can't remember the guy's name, but let's call him Henry. Henry, come here, quick. And Henry, you know, wobbled into the hallway. I should have gone to him, really. But I was also conscious that I had to be somewhere. So it was becoming a distraction to me, but it was an opportunity that I couldn't be missed. And I just thought, you know what? God has given this opportunity to me. He's presented this to me. And I need to be obedient to it. And God will take care of everything that comes afterwards. As it happened, 3 appointments were cancelled. So I had all the time I needed. I stood in this hallway with this elderly couple. And I just talked to them about the Lord. The husband wasn't saved. And the wife had been praying for him for a number of years. And he could not believe that this, you know, 20-something-year-old from Canelli was in Bristol in his house at that time. And I still find it incredible how I find myself in situations and that God would give me that privilege to be there and that to be available and to be used and to share the message of Christ. I still find it amazing that I was stood in the hallway of a couple I've never met. Never been to that part of Bristol before. Never been to the house. God presented an opportunity to pray with him. Anyway, the guy didn't want me to leave. I prayed for them, and the presence of God was, you know, the Lord just came in so gentle, and there was such a wonderful peace there. And he said, I don't know what's happening. He said, but I don't want you to go. And I was saying to him, look, Lord Jesus is calling you. He's telling you he's real. I was, you know, saying to him, you've battled with it. And I prayed with him, and I left. But they didn't want me to go. They didn't want me to go because I took something there. This isn't about me. I carry this message. Christ comes, you know, he's with me everywhere I go. And I was there with them, and I prayed with them, and just encouraged them. And I left afterwards, you know, just feeling so excited, full of joy. What a brilliant way to go about your day. You know, we get so distracted and so bogged down by things. But when there's an opportunity to declare that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, there is nothing greater. But we have to understand the totality of what Jesus did, what he completed, who he is, that he is everything that he says he is. Let that become a reality in our lives, for that then to enable us to move on in him, to be likewise, to do similar things, or the same things, I should say. And Jesus said, he says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives within you and will be in you. And finally, verse 25 in John 14 says, all this I have spoken while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. We're going to come around the communion table in a few minutes. But before we do that, I want to pray for us. And you know where you are. You know in your heart where you are with the Lord. You know how close you are to him. And you know he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's always with you. And he'll prove himself faithful even in times when you don't recognize it, even when you're not sensing it or feeling anything, you'll realize after that God was there. And I just want to encourage you, don't be afraid to share this message that we carry. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Because there are lots of distractions, there are lots of things trying to pull people away from the truth. And we carry that truth. So let's pray together. Father God, I just thank you that you completed everything for us, Lord. You accomplished everything when you died on that cross. You shed your blood for us, and you rose again victorious. We thank you, Lord, that our hope is in you. We thank you that we do not live with a spirit of fear. Lord, I thank you that we have hope and confidence in you. Lord, I just pray right now that your Holy Spirit would fill us with boldness and confidence, that you would excite us again, Lord, that you would, Lord, fan into flames, Lord, that passion, Lord, that we remember we once had, Lord, exceed that passion, Lord, that we once experienced. Let us experience more of you, Lord, even greater ways, Father God. And I just pray, Lord God, that wherever we find ourselves in daily life, that we would be bold enough to share this message of Jesus Christ, this hope that we have in him. Lord, and I pray that people would be saved. I pray, Lord, that you would save souls. And Lord, I pray that you would add to our number, Lord. And Lord, we would see lives transformed and see people worshiping you. Thank you for everybody in this room, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are all sinners saved by grace. We've all known, Lord, your touch, your grace. Give us confidence and boldness, I pray, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Could those serving the bread please come forward?